This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Who then can be saved? That's the question the disciples asked Jesus in our gospel reading for today. The question is, what does that question mean for us, for you and me? Well, first we need to know what they meant by the word saved. Simply put, Scripture teaches that we are sinners who deserve God's wrath. Therefore, to be saved means that something has been done about our sins so that we do not have to fear God's wrath. You know, the problem is that many people today are surprised to hear the words God and wrath in the same sentence. Many today constantly quote the Bible verse, God is love, and then they assume that God never gets angry and that His wrath does not even exist. But nothing could be farther from the truth. Yes, Scripture teaches that God is love. He's ultimately love. However, Scripture also teaches that God is holy and just. God hates sinful attitudes and behaviors. Why? Because they separate us from His love and they destroy His creation. Therefore, God must be just and He must destroy evil. But that leads to a huge problem. We are sinners. We are sinful by nature. Therefore, we deserve God's wrath. Listen to what Paul writes about this in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. We were by nature objects of God's wrath. So with that understood, to be saved means that something has been done about our sins so that we do not have to fear God's wrath. To be saved means that we are good in God's sight, and we can actually look forward to eternal life in His love. So then, why do the disciples ask Jesus this question? Who then can be saved? If you want to know why they asked Jesus that question, and what their question means for us today, then we need to examine the wider context of our gospel reading. Our gospel reading begins with a man running up to Jesus and asking Him a question. Now you need to know something about this man. He was extremely rich. Now, in our culture, some look down on the rich. People today look down on the rich as being examples of people who are greedy and selfish. Some in our culture today say, God loves us poor, working class people. But on the other hand, God despises the rich who have things so good in this life. But my friends, that's not how the Jewish people in Jesus' day thought of the rich. You see, in Jesus' day, people thought that being rich was a sign that God had blessed you. Now, why, according to them, would God bless you with riches? Well, because you deserved it. You see, according to their thinking, if you faithfully obeyed God's laws and your good deeds far outweighed your bad deeds, then God would overlook whatever sins you had done in your life, and He would reward you. He would reward you with wealth, health, and prosperity. On the other hand, though, according to their thinking, if you were a poor person in Jesus' day, this was a sign that you had not obeyed God's laws as well as the rich people had. In other words, according to their thinking, your poverty and your other problems in life were a sign that God was displeased with you. Therefore, you would have to work extra hard at being obedient. And then, maybe, just maybe, you would eventually have the hope of God's mercy. So in Jesus' day, wealth or the lack of it, was an outward sign of how well you had obeyed God's laws. That's how the people thought. So with that understood, let's get back to that rich man in our gospel reading who asks Jesus this question. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You know, you can tell a lot about people by the kind of questions they ask. This man calls Jesus good teacher. Now, one thing we know from the wider context of Mark's gospel is that there were many opinions about Jesus among the Jews at this point in his ministry. Some hated Jesus. Others thought he was a prophet or a wise teacher. But very, very few actually believed that Jesus was the very Son of God, which he was preaching that he was. And this rich man was no exception. He thought Jesus was a good teacher, but certainly not the Son of God. So Jesus says to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." You see, Jesus is trying to correct the error in this rich man's question. First, this man does not believe that Jesus is God, which is why he calls him merely a teacher. But secondly, this man does not understand that no mere human could ever be good, because we're all equally sinners. In other words, this rich man wrongly thought that it was possible for a mere human to reach a state of sinless perfection in this life. But Jesus attempts to humble him by saying, no one is good except God alone. Next, Jesus goes on to give a works righteous answer to this rich man's works righteous question. Remember the rich man's question? What must I do to inherit eternal life? This question reveals that this man assumed that he could actually do something to be worthy of eternal life. So, what does Jesus say to him in return? Well, according to Scripture, if you want to be worthy of eternal life, then you must obey God's law perfectly. In other words, you must always avoid the sin God forbids, and you must always do the good that God demands. But we sinners have failed in this regard, miserably. So in order to humble this rich man, Jesus says the following. Well, you know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother, and so on. Now, if this rich man had any humility at all, here's how he should have responded. Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. I have broken all these commandments. I need your grace and mercy. But that's not what the rich man says. Instead, he says, oh, all those I have kept since I was a boy. My friends, these words show us that this rich man believed that he was already perfect. So when the rich man asked Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He's expecting Jesus to say, nothing. You're already perfect. You've made it. Good for you. Well, that's not what Jesus says. Sadly, the rich man is clueless about the sin in his own life. First of all, he fails to realize that God's laws not only condemn our actions, they also condemn our thoughts and our desires. For example, in other parts of the Gospels, Jesus teaches that lust is just as sinful as adultery, and hatred is just as evil as murder before God. Secondly, this rich man fails to see that God's law does not only forbid doing evil, it also commands us that we do good. Now, the question is, how often had this rich man ignored the poor? How often had he failed to help the needy with his immense wealth? In fact, he probably looked down on the poor. He looked down on them as people who had not obeyed God's laws as well as he had. He probably thought, I'm rich because I'm so good. So why should I take the rewards that God has given me for my obedience and share them with those who obviously don't deserve it? Jesus understands that this rich man can't be saved as long as he refuses to acknowledge his sin and his need for salvation. And so our gospel reading says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Even though this rich man was a self-righteous unbeliever, Jesus still loved him, just as God loves us, unworthy sinners. And since Jesus loved him, Jesus tells him what he needs to hear. Now understand, this is not a command for everybody, everywhere, of all times and places. This is a specific command for this particular person who needs a big wake-up call. Jesus says to him, one thing you lack. Go, sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Now please understand, Jesus is not teaching that we can earn our salvation by selling all we have and giving it to the poor, as good of a thing that may be. Instead, Jesus is actually teaching us that we must be saved by grace alone. How is that? Well, you see, what this rich man lacks is Jesus. This rich man refuses to believe that he is a sinner whose only hope is Jesus, his Lord and Savior. What he lacks is faith in Christ. So what does Jesus do? Jesus tells this rich man that he needs to get rid of his self-righteous trophies and give them to the very people that he always thought were far more sinful than he was. You see, this man's riches were a sign to him that he had obeyed God's laws. But if he were to sell them all, he would be poor. He would be just like the other poor people that he thought were unworthy sinners. In other words, Jesus is telling this rich man to associate himself with sinners whose only hope is Jesus. That's why Jesus said, follow me. You see, this man doesn't need another law to obey. This man needed Jesus. But he couldn't have Jesus until he was willing to admit that he was an unworthy sinner. Well, Mark tells us that this rich man went away sad because he had great wealth. In other words, he was sad because he expected Jesus to honor him. Instead, Jesus insisted that he must acknowledge his sin. And he wasn't ready to get rid of his self-righteous trophies. He wasn't ready to associate himself with poor sinners. Well, after the rich man walks away in unbelief, Jesus says the following: how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Now, Mark says that Jesus' disciples were amazed when they heard this. Why? Because they also had been influenced by the false teaching so common among the Jews of that time. You see, Jesus' disciples actually admired that rich man. Here's what they were probably thinking. Boy, if anybody is worthy of entering God's kingdom, it's that rich man. He has obviously obeyed God's laws because God has blessed him with so much wealth. On the other hand, look at us. We're poor because we're obviously not as good as him. So maybe if we try really hard to obey God, we one day might be just as good as that rich man. But then Jesus dashes their hopes when he says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. How do they respond? Mark says, the disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? In other words, they were saying, whoa, if a good guy like that rich man can't be saved, then what hope is there for sinners like us? Good question. If the best of the best are not worthy of salvation, who then can be saved? Jesus then gives them and us this wonderful answer. With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Simply put, we're all unworthy sinners who deserve nothing but God's wrath. It is impossible for us to save ourselves from damnation by our own efforts. But what is impossible for us to do, God has done for us through His Son, Jesus. However, Jesus' answer gets Peter a bit upset. Remember, Peter says, well, wait a minute, Jesus. We have left everything to follow you. You see, being saved by grace alone can be a problem if you think God should be impressed with your efforts. Peter and the other disciples had made great sacrifices to follow Jesus. Peter was thinking that his sacrificial efforts should be worth something. Well, Jesus then reminds us that God will more than provide for our needs, not because we're worthy, but because God is merciful. In fact, Jesus also teaches us that our reason for doing good works should never be to impress God. Instead, our good works should be to thank God for His mercy, as well as showing love to our neighbor. In addition, Jesus says that we may even have to face persecution if we follow Him. But guess what? Even such suffering is a gift from God because it strengthens our faith in Christ and gives us a chance to witness to others about the hope that we have in Jesus. Jesus then speaks these words, but many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. In other words, there are no favorites in God's kingdom. The greatest in God's kingdom actually get to make themselves last and become servants of all. The point is that we're all equally sinners and we're all saved by God's grace alone. In fact, the only one who really is first made himself the very last when he went to the cross for us sinners. At the end of our gospel reading, Jesus explains how he will soon go to Jerusalem to fulfill his mission by suffering and dying on the cross for you and for me. My friends, Jesus is the only human who is good because he is also God himself. And yet, Jesus died on the cross with our sins on his back, suffering God's wrath in our place. Jesus then conquered death for us so that we might live forever in God's love. My friends, our gospel reading for today is so very relevant for our lives. I mean, let's face it, we're all like that rich man sometimes. The devil tempts us to think that we really don't deserve God's wrath because we think we're basically good people. The devil tempts us to justify certain sins in our lives because we think that our good works will make up for them. The devil tempts us to think that we deserve the many blessings that God has given us, and so we can become prideful and selfish. But thanks be to God, He has used His Word today to correct our sinful thinking and to put our eyes back where they belong, on Jesus. On the one who makes it possible for us sinners to be saved. Who then can be saved? All who confess their sins and trust in Jesus. Through faith in Jesus, all your many sins are forgiven. Through faith in Jesus, you are holy in God's sight because you have been clothed with Jesus' own holiness. Because you have been saved by grace alone, follow Jesus, live for Him, and look forward to eternal life in His love. Amen.